Good to see everybody back tonight.
If you're visiting with us, we really appreciate that a lot. This thing is tricky. It's been such a great week, and if you're visiting with us, we're glad you can take part in the rest of this week with us tonight. As Matt said in his great prayer, we're going to be talking about being a worker for the Lord tonight. I want to thank again the McMullen family for having me over tonight. I have made a new family, and they've offered me a place to stay anytime I'm in this area. So I'm going to be taking them up on that, whether they know it or not. So either way, I really enjoyed my time with them as I have everybody this week. That was such a special thing for me to get to be with them this afternoon. I want to be a worker for the Lord. I think this is such an important subject, and tonight, if you'll give me your attention for about 25 to 30 minutes, I think that when we leave here tonight, I hope your mind is thinking creatively of ways that you can be a worker for the Lord. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, I don't care how long you've been a member of the church or if you're not a member of the church. Because this is something that if we could all get our minds wrapped around and get zealous about, could do a lot of good for the church now and later. And I hope that you'll really think about that, whoever you are. There was a king, and he had a boulder in the middle of the night put in the middle of the road. And he hid the next morning in some bushes watching as people were passing by. And as he saw people passing by this boulder he had had placed in the middle of the road, he heard things such as, "I can't believe the king would allow this to be here. We pay our tax dollars. We have voted him in. And look here, we've got to walk around this and get around this. It's so aggravating." And all morning he saw people complaining and murmuring and talking about this boulder in the road. And then finally, this peasant came along carrying all his vegetables he was carrying to the market to sell that morning. And he set them all down and he pushed. And slowly but surely he got that boulder out of the road. When he turned around to get his vegetable, he saw a purse lying there and he picked it up. And it was full of gold coins and a letter. And it said, "To whoever pushes this boulder out of the road, these gold coins are yours for taking the initiative, are yours for taking the initiative and doing this great task." And I think about that story as the work of the church. You know, a lot of people see what needs to be done. They know what needs to be done. But a lot of times we just complain and we walk around and we want somebody else to do it. Well, that's on the elders. That's on the preachers. That's on somebody else. That's not my job. Man, our Bible classes are terrible. You ever heard that one? "We need better Bible classes, Bob. We're going to go somewhere else where there's better Bible classes." I heard that when I was a kid one time. And one of the people saying it, I thought, well, you rarely come to church. You've never attempted to volunteer to teach the class. You don't ever have your lesson prepared. So you're not putting a lot into this to be complaining a whole lot about it. Does that make sense? And that's what I see in that story of the boulder. So there's a lot that can be done when we just set our minds to do it. And it's very rewarding. I want you to understand that. Just like he got that purse of gold coins, that's a monetary reward. There's a lot of significant rewards that come from working for the Lord. And I want to say that if you're one who likes to know numbers, tonight we will have 3 points. 3 ways that we can be workers for the Lord. But before we do, I want you to look at this slide with me here. I don't know if I've covered everybody. I'm sure I haven't. Somebody's going to be left out. So if I left you out, it wasn't intentionally. But we have very many successful people in the church. Where I attend, where you attend, churches everywhere have successful people. We have people that are so knowledgeable, they're smart, they're physically able, they're brilliant, they're bright, they're charismatic. Bankers, investors. I don't know you real well, but I'm sure there's somebody in here. Our treasurer at Piney Grove is a banker, and he's very good at what he does, and he's very knowledgeable. Investors, teachers, coaches. We were just talking about one of the young ladies who had some volleyball games earlier. And I know we've got teachers in this audience. Everywhere you go, you're going to find teachers. Because they're smart. And they know how to read and study. When they open their Bibles, they know the truth. And they do a job that's very difficult. I appreciate good teachers. Coaches. Tony, I'm having trouble knowing everybody says, but Tony will tell you that's a job. That's a job that takes a lot of time, a lot of hours for very little money. Ain't that right, Will? Doctors, nurses. That's supposed to say farmers. My spelling is not that bad. My technology is that bad. Musicians, artists, city workers, government workers. Ms. McMullen told me tonight, I better pay my water bill. I don't know what that means, but
She was very emphatic on paying my water bill. No. Business owners, etc. I mean, how many people in this congregation are skilled at what they do? You look at them and say, to do that, you've got to be special. That takes somebody special. They went to college for years. Now, let me tell you why I think about this. It was funny because I told Miss McMillan tonight, I said, now, you're getting into my lesson. Don't get on it too much here. But when I grew up, I dated my wife, and I grew up at a small church. She grew up at a bigger church. And I would visit with her from time to time when we were dating. We would go back to our classes on a Wednesday night, and there would be like 15 to 20 of us in that class. And I thought, this is really grand. Look how many people are my age or around my age in this congregation. I thought that was cool. And I look at us today, and I was at that time about 16 or 17, and now I'm 34. And I look, and I can name you, everybody that was in that class, because I knew them well. And very few of them are still Christians. And the ones that are have very good jobs. They went to college for years. They're very talented. But they do very, very, very little for the church. None of those talents go into the work of the church. And I think about that, and I think about the vision we have. What makes a person say, I want to be a doctor? Well, I'll tell you some of the things that would make me say it. Money. It would take a lot because I don't want to be a doctor. But if it was enough, a lot of people say, well, I'll do that. Or a lot of people do it because they're passionate about it, right? They went into that because they're passionate. But you know how long it takes to be a doctor? Like 10 or 12 years of college. Will, you down for that? I'm not. You know how long it takes to be some of these jobs or how many hours it takes? And people do it. They're dedicated. And they're successful. And our country runs because of people like this. But you know what's been forsaken by a lot of people during this time? The church. Where's the vision of these people when they're thinking about, where am I going to go to college? Who am I going to marry? Where am I going to live? And we have this vision for our future. What about the church? I know we'll have somebody in this building that this will make sense to. Who's the person in this building that grew up at a church like Mount Zion? Maybe you grew up here your whole life. And you thought from the time you were a child about inviting people to church, studying the Bible. One day I'm going to be up here leading singing. One day I'll be preaching. I want to help in the work. And you just had that vision and you worried and were concerned for the work of church like Paul was for so many congregations that he helped start or work with. Tonight, that's the idea. Is that not just the four elders here, not just the two preachers, not just that we all have that same worry and concern and love and care for everything that goes on at Mount Zion or wherever you're a member. Because if everybody in this congregation put as much into this local congregation and the Bible classes and being here and inviting people and studying people and spending time with each other, do you think the growth of this church would happen? God gives increase, but I think it takes a recipe like that for it to happen. So let's look at our three points tonight. The first one, in each point, we're going to find different people and ways you can work for the Lord. The first one is, where are the Joshuas? Where are the Joshuas? So, who was Joshua? Well, he was Moses' successor. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31, and let's read the first 8 verses. Deuteronomy chapter 31, and what we're going to do is read the first 8 verses. And Moses went and spoke these words unto all Israel, and he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord has said unto me, you shall not go over this Jordan. Now listen for a minute. He's 120. How many in here have faithful grandparents or parents, and they're getting older? How many of you have seen people who stood in this pulpit at Mount Zion or wherever you're a member, and they're getting older, and they're no longer able to preach or lead singing or teach? They're no longer to go knocking door to door and invite people. Their health's given out. Who's going to fill those shoes? Who's going to be the Bob one day? Who's going to be the Matt one day? Who's going to fill the elders here spot one day? These are the things we're thinking about. Here's Moses saying, my time's about up. Look at verse 3. The Lord your God, He will go over before thee, and He will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, and he shall go over before thee, as the Lord has said. And the Lord shall do unto them as He did to Shon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and to the land of them whom He destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that you may do unto them according to all the commandment which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail you nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all of Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with these people into the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them. And you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, He it is that does go before thee, and He will be with thee, and He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. He takes Joshua in front of all these people, and he said, you're going to be leading this people, and God's going to be with you. He was the successor of Moses. Who's going to be the successor of the elders and the preachers here and abroad? I watched several young men stand up here and lead singing Sunday. I hope they're part of the successors. And I know there are others that have grown up here that are at other congregations around about, and that's great. We need Joshua's filling the voids of the work here and other congregations where the church meets. Who's it going to be? Who's going to be next? Now remember, you may be in this audience and you say, well, here I am 30, 40, 50 years old and I haven't done much yet. It's not too late. It's not too late. And that doesn't mean that everybody's going to be a song leader. Everybody's going to be a preacher. That's not what that means. But there's many ways we can work for the Lord and do things for Him. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And let's look at the first couple verses. Luke chapter 10, the first two verses. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before His face into every city and place, whither He Himself would come. Now listen to this passage. Therefore, He said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. What does that mean? The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Man, what a great time of year to understand that passage. How many of you just look across the road here at some of these row crop fields? Imagine that you own a row crop field right across the road and it's 200 acres. And you grew cotton or corn, either one. And you're by yourself and you've got to go out there and pick 200 acres of corn or cotton. I tell you, I'm not going to get many acres picked just by myself. But just pretend I ask every one of you to go out there and help me. How many acres are we going to get done now? I don't know, but a lot more. A lot more. We're going to get this many more times done than what we would have done. So that's what we need. And what He's saying here is there's a lot of souls out there that need to be saved, that need to hear the gospel. There's a lot of work that needs to be done in the church. And the more of us that are involved in that work, the better. The harvest is great, but what's few? The laborers. How many of you eat fast food? I hate to admit it, but I do from time to time. I do like Taco Bell. I like it. But I get sick of some of that other stuff. But you know what I've noticed the last couple of years? I'm sure it's not a problem in Limestone County. But back in Colbert County, you go to a place and they can't find workers. You can't even get the building. I've got a truck and trailer everywhere I go, and I pull in the first parking lot that can hold a truck and trailer, and I go to the door that's locked and it says, you got to use the drive-thru. Well, I can't get that thing through the drive-thru. Especially these drive-thrus that they barely get a car through. What's happened? Well, they can't find people to work. It's the same in the Lord's church. Why do you see a lot of churches falling apart? Numbers going down. Doors closing. You can't find people to work for the Lord. They're too busy worried about themselves, about their income, about their visions on this earth. They don't have that pilgrim mindset. We need more Joshuas. We need laborers because the harvest truly is great. Look at Luke chapter 5, a couple passages back. Verses 10 and 11. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth you shall catch men. And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. Please listen to what I'm about to say. I went to college for 6 years to be a teacher. Now, you don't have to listen to that real good, but I did. Four to get one degree and two to get another. It didn't take me six to finish that first grade. Please don't think it took me that long. But I don't teach anymore. I'm retired from that. That's the word I like to use. They made me put resign when I quit, but I retired. That's what I did. Not fully retired, just from teaching. I retired. A lot of people that do them jobs I showed you earlier, they go to training or school for years to do those things. Here you've got two fishermen. Now follow me here. They're out on their boats fishing and they come in from fishing. And it says that Jesus said, from now on you're going to be fishers of men. And you know what they did? It said they forsook all and followed him. You know what I'd have did? Well, I just paid these boats off. I just got this boat fixed. I've got the newest nets out there. I can't just, if I leave this here, somebody's going to steal it. I got to go put it in the shop first, or let me do something. That's what would be going through my head. I'm just trying to be as honest as I can be. And you know what my mom would have said? She would have said the same thing when I quit teaching. She'd say, you can't quit teaching. You went to school to do that. You can't just quit now. And you know what you would imagine people say? You can't just give this good job up. You've been working for it. It said they forsook all and followed him. Now, say tonight you've got something in your life you need to forsake and give up. Just pretend. Maybe you do, because you're not being much of a worker for the Lord. Do you think today those men regret that decision? That's what I'm asking you right now. Do you think that Peter and Andrew, John, James, do you think these people, these apostles, even some that weren't mentioned, do you think that they would stand here today and say, we regret that decision? No way. Because they're saved. They were followers and disciples and apostles of Christ. And they're in a better place that we talked about in Hebrews, that pilgrim mindset we're looking for. They don't regret that. So if you've got something in your life right now that you need to forsake to be a fisher of men or a laborer for the Lord or work for the Lord or a Joshua, forsake it. I'm not telling you to quit your job and not to work and stay in your house. That's not at all what I'm saying. You've got responsibilities. There's things, but God's got to be first. And that's what the problem is. We don't have laborers. We don't have Joshua because God's not first. I deserve to have a house. I deserve to do my hobbies. And I'll be at church and I'll be semi-faithful. But we don't have laborers and workers. That in our mind, it's like that's not a responsibility. The harvest is great. The laborers are few. Be fishers of men. Where are the Joshuas? In this audience tonight, we need Joshuas. We need future laborers for the Lord. We need people to step up here at Mount Zion. And we need them to step up at congregations all across the world. Where are the Joshuas in this audience tonight? Secondly, where are the Tabithas? And she's referred to sometimes in the Scripture as Dorcas, just to make sure you understand who we're talking about here. Where are the Tabithas in this audience tonight, the Dorcases? Where are these? Turn with me to Acts chapter 9. We'll read about Dorcas here. Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 39. Acts 9, verses 36 through 39. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. Whom when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper chamber. And for as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows, listen to this, all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. The first time I preached at O'Neill, I can't remember her name, I'm sorry, but there was a lady that made my kids scrunchies for their hair. Maybe y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of the men might not. And she gave them scrunchies. The first time I preached over in Albertville a few years ago, a guy made me a painting. And I have it up in one of the rooms of my house. And this last year when I went back to preach there, he made me another one. I've got a lady that worships, we have a lady that worships with us at Piney Grove whose husband was one of the most faithful Christians I ever knew. When he died, her children took all of his ties and made a quilt out of his ties that she sleeps under every night. Tonight, I ate with a family that I've met the first time Sunday. And yesterday, I ate with a family the first time I met Sunday. And Sunday, I ate with a family and other families, some that I first met Sunday and some that I met 4 or 5 years ago. And sometimes you can do the smallest things that will leave a mark forever. Here, these widows are standing around crying and weeping, and they're showing off, look what Dorcas made me, look what she gave me. And it said this woman was full of good deeds. You don't have to be the preacher. You don't have to be the song leader. You can do a lot of good works like Tabitha did that helped the church here. Say there's a family from down the road and some of the brethren have been out and they knocked on the door and invited them to church tonight or this week or before. And here they come visiting. Well, you really wanted to go home and watch some football Sunday. But instead you said, you know what? We're going to invite this family out to eat today. We've got some visitors today. Has anybody? We're going to invite them to our house. We're going to take them down the road to the nearest restaurant. We're going to do this. You never know what influence that might have on someone who's never been a Christian or never are looking for a place to worship. The influence you can have or someone who needs somebody and some company. Maybe somebody here is having a hard time in life and I don't know about it, but you do. They're going through some hard times financially or with their relationships and their family, and you say, I'm going to call and talk to them. I'm going to go and visit them. I'm going to take off work an hour early, and I'm going to go watch some of these kids play ball this week. I'm going to go watch one of their band performances. Why? Because they worship with me, and this is my family, and I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to show them I care. It don't take much to do that. How many of you have heard of people sending these big donations to the universities that they care for on donation day? I get letters from UNA all the time. Maybe you went to a different college and they send you and they want you to donate money to their sports and athletic programs or their academic programs. People do that, don't they? We do it for those that we love that are in our blood and our family. We need to start finding ways that we can be like Tabitha and Dorcas. And everybody in here is capable. But how often do you take the time to try to do these things? To try to make a difference in the lives of brethren or those that are not members of the church that need to learn about God or know more or know the truth? Look at Galatians chapter 2, please. Galatians 2, as Paul's writing here, notice what he says in verse 10. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. What's he saying? We need to remember these people. There's people we can help out. And then go to chapter 6 at verse 2. You know this verse. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear ye... Well, I don't have time. I got a lot going on. I'm tired. I'm worn out. Do something different. Because her name is in the Bible because of the small good deeds she did. She found a way to be a worker for the Lord. And she made an influence on people. And you can too. And I'm here to say there's probably some Tabithas and Dorcas in this audience that I don't even know about. But you probably do. But maybe tonight you can say you haven't been one of them. Start being one of them. Start finding ways to make a difference in the lives of your brethren and be a worker for the Lord. Third and final point tonight. Where are the Eunice and Loises? Do you remember Eunice and Lois? Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1 at verse 5 and we'll read about them. Eunice and Lois. We're in 2 Timothy 1 at verse 5. Paul's talking to Timothy. Now Timothy's obviously a good young man of faith, but you know what Paul reminds Timothy of? Listen to this verse. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, he's saying that genuine, faithful faith that is in you, Timothy, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that it's in thee also. Listen to that. He says, Timothy, I see that unfeigned, genuine faith in you. That was first in your grandmother and your mother. You can leave your kids a life insurance policy. You can leave them all the money you've made in your life. You can leave them memories and happiness, and that's great. I'm not condemning any of that. But if you want to leave your kids something special, you leave them an example of what a faithful Christian should be. You uphold the truth, even when it's hard. Never give in to what's right for your children or grandchildren. Always do what's right, and you're leaving them the best gift you can leave your children. And I've got to remember that because I've got children. And Lord willing, maybe I'll have grandchildren if I live long enough. And they have children. Where are the Eunices and the Loises? It seems like today you see a generation where there's a lot less faithful children and grandchildren than the generation ahead of them. And people notice that and they talk about it. But why is it that way? Well, we don't have as many Eunices and Loises that have unfeigned faith, that always stand for what's right, that never give in, even when the world wants us to. And that's what leads to that faith. And if we're going to be workers for the Lord, we need more of that. I want to tell you about my grandpa. His name was Nelson. He died in 2019. He was 88 years old. He was a good Christian man, and I'm thankful for him. But I would go to his house to visit with him a lot. One, I was his preacher. And two, it was my grandpa. Win-win, right? As I would go to his house, my grandma passed away 10 years before him. She had pancreatic cancer, and by the time they found it, she died a few weeks later. And he missed her like everything. But he had a couch, and he had one of these old-fashioned lights. I wish I knew the name of them, but you would know if I could tell. I'll never know, but beautiful light. And he would turn that on, and on that couch, the color of that couch was all the same, except every day on that end of the couch, there was a worn spot, like the color had faded. And he would turn that light on and read his Bible every day. I never knew anybody that could quote Scripture like him. I don't know how many times he read through the Bible. And he did that every day. And you could see it on his couch when he died, that worn spot from reading that Bible. And I knew it because I'd seen him doing it many times when I'd gotten to his house. I seen it in my grandfather. A few years ago, I went back to my parents' house where I grew up, and I just wanted to go see my room. Any of y'all nostalgic like that? My brother had inherited after I, so it wasn't quite the same. But I went to my closet I had, where my mom, who's a hoarder, would keep a lot of things that I had when I was a kid that she just didn't want to throw away for nostalgia's sake. And I got to look around, and I found a card that my grandmother on the other side of my family had wrote me before she died. And I read that card, and as I was reading it, at the end, I wanted to bring it tonight, but I didn't. What she said was, no matter what happens in life, I'm paraphrasing, as long as you're a faithful Christian, I'll be proud of you. That's what she was saying to me. And I got to preach both of their funerals. And even though I want to serve God and put Him first, that's the most important thing, I seen the faith that they had. I seen the faith that they had, and that's encouraging me. And you may think that your children or grandchildren are not seeing your faith, or the people sitting around you, your neighbors, but they are. So when we start taking off a few Sunday nights or Wednesdays, when we're not studying or praying at home, when we're saying or doing things that are not putting God first, they're seeing it. Others are seeing it. And sometimes other Christians think it gives them a pass. And that's not the influence we want to have. Our children and grandchildren think, well, every once in a while we can do what's not right. We can make exceptions to putting God first. When we don't make exceptions, that shows the faith that we're talking about right here. And that's what's going to create workers for the Lord. We need more Eunices and Loises. I hope if you're here tonight and you can be a Eunice or a Lois, that you'll take that opportunity and not waste it or take it for granted. That's the best gift you could possibly leave anybody that you truly love or care for. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, notice what Paul says here. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Listen to that line. Where does this lesson come from? Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now let me tell you why. I played baseball for years. I practiced for years. I thought if I got my name in the paper and I set some school records and I could have colleges look at me that I was doing something. And today nobody even knows about that. I had to tell my kids and they don't even believe me. You know what I mean, Will. You got a ring. I didn't get one of them. But I thought that was everything to life. But you know what it is now? It's vain. It's good memories, glory days, and that's about it. Listen to what he says. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Why? For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Everything I do for God and the church and the work of the Lord, that's not useless or vain, as many things on this earth are. Let's all be workers for the Lord. Let's be unmovable, always abounding, steadfast, when it comes to the work of the Lord. Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24. You see it in the image there. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is Lord Christ you are serving. That's why. Because we're serving Him. This work is special. It's important. And I'm here to tell you that it's looked over so much more than earthly work is. People care so much more about their careers and jobs than they do this work. And it means nothing compared to this work. Let's all work together to be better workers for the Lord. And if you'll do that, if you'll find your ways to be Joshua's, Tabitha's, Eunice and Lois's, Mount Zion will benefit. And the church as a whole will benefit. In conclusion, do you really want to be a worker for the Lord? Do you really want that? Look at Matthew. We're going to turn and look there and the lesson will be yours. Turn to Matthew chapter 19. Verses 27 through 29. Listen to what Peter asked Jesus here. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed you. What shall we have therefore? He's saying, we forsook everything, Lord, and followed you. What are we going to get for it? And Jesus said to them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one, this is where we come in, that has forsaken houses, brethren, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. That's the reward we all want, everlasting life. Are we willing to do that? Because that takes work. Look at Matthew chapter 6, just a few pages back. Verses 19 through 21, last time I asked you to turn. Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I hope your treasure is seeing Mount Zion grow. It's seeing somebody obey the gospel. It's seeing somebody come back that's not faithful now and be faithful again. I hope your treasure's in heaven. How can we be more active, more faithful, more diligent and focused workers for the Lord? Tonight, you've got to ask that question for yourself, and I've got to ask it to myself. Don't go home and get excited about it and then forget. Find some ways to really make application of this lesson. Let's figure this out now, not later, while we have time. Maybe tonight you're not a child of God, but after studying God's Word, you want to be a worker. You want to be like David. You want to go out and fight Goliath. You want to stand up for the Lord. Well, you've got to join the Lord's army. You've got to be added to the Lord's church. And God made that possible. He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins so that we could all have forgiveness and hope of eternal life. Not if you're willing to surrender obedience. Why not now? Why not be added to the Lord's church and start working right away and not delay? If you're zealous and ready, why not now? Maybe you've done that, but you can really honestly say, I have not been much of a worker lately. Or maybe ever. But I love the Lord and I want to be faithful, but I need to start working more for the Lord. I need to be a laborer. Tonight, go home and privately think of ways and immediately make those adjustments and start being more zealous and more impactful for the work of the Lord. And if publicly we can help you by praying for you or helping you with something in your life and you want to come forward, we would love to help you and pray for you. If you have any need and we can assist you, why don't you come and sing the song that Chad selected.